Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:08 PM the Pacific Summer Time. Today is August 11th, and we had a significant pullback in precious metals in here today. So we had a very small key reversal, but it wasn't really something that would show up on any kind of meter for gold on Friday. No real follow through yesterday, but then big follow through down here today, and this is a clear downward dynamic. It suggests a peak of at least near term significance and potentially a reversion back down towards the mean. Well, the mean at the moment is around $1,650. When we think about the potential here for a consolidation, we're right in the region of 2,000. It's a natural area where we might anticipate that there is a pause. We've had a really fantastic advance over the course of the last 6 weeks, a really wide overextension, a very clear overbought condition, and now the clear potential that we're going to get some pause. And there is still quite a bit of room in which to consolidate. $1,800 could be a potential area of support because it was an area of resistance back in 2011 and 12. We had a mild pause below it on the way up. We may see that it pauses at that level on the way back down. What's quite likely is that the region of the trend mean will offer support. That was certainly the case at the end of 2019, again in March, and that it's quite likely again on this occasion. Silver prices were also down in a dynamic manner, falling $4. And that's a spectacular downward dynamic. It's the kind of move that really stands out on the chart. And something I've been pointing out for most of the last couple of weeks is that these extraordinary breakouts we tend to get in precious metals, they surprise on the upside, they are extremely powerful, and then they tend to be capped off with big downward dynamics. Today is a big downward dynamic. A lot of stops were hit. I was taken out of my positions, and it is quite likely that we're going to see at least some pause and consolidation here, and it could last months. But it is also quite likely that the breakout from the base formation will be sustained, and that we are unlikely to see silver trade back below $20 again. In fact, the size of the downward dynamic today is probably enough for at least some people to start thinking about value opportunities, considering the percentage move that's already taken place. But I think that some patience will probably be rewarded with lower prices overall. Now, when we look at the gold miners sector, then it was also in negative territory. It's broken the sequence of higher reaction lows off the nadir in June. We are quite likely to see a process of mean reversion unfold, but I do think it is very unlikely we're going to see this chart come back below the $30 area. Now, we've had a mild consolidation above the base formation, and the upper side of that is around the 36 area. It might be too much to hope for that this offers an area of support, but it's possible. The clear conclusion here is that a very substantial upward dynamic right across the precious metals sector is going to be required in order to confirm that we're back in a near-term demand-dominated environment. Platinum prices pulled back violently as well from around the $1,000 area, so it has not yet been able to break substantially above the 1,000 area, and it's going to have to at least do that in order to truly confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Then when we look at palladium, it does look susceptible to additional downside, considering that it did accelerate in no uncertain terms and then was capped off with this phenomenally large downward dynamic. We are looking, I think, more like a period of right-hand extension following the massive reaction against the prevailing trend, and that a lot of the good news for palladium has probably already been priced in, and it's getting a lot more competition now from the other precious metals. Well, part of the reason why we've had, or what the catalyst was for this pullback in precious metals, has been the reversal in TIPS yields. They have been rising now for 3 days, but importantly have broken the sequence of lower rally highs. This is the first three-day decline that we've seen now since June. And it does suggest that the overextension relative to the trend mean may be in the process of being unwound. That would represent a very significant move for tips, but I don't think there's anybody predicting just yet that those yields are going to rise above zero. Gold does tend to do best in a negative real interest rate environment, and we still have that. But we've had a very profound move. It's a natural area where we should get some, or we should see at least consolidation, and I do think that that is what we are now going to get. Now, when we start to think about what does this all mean for the bond markets, it does beg the question whether we're starting to see bond markets experience some indigestion. And the yield around 50 basis points has held for most of the last 6 months, and we've had very inert trading. And this kind of very inert trading environment does not persist indefinitely, and the move in here today, which is in the order of 6 basis points, is a 10% move in the yield, and that's substantial. When we look at the futures contract, then I think it probably stands out a little bit clearer that this has been a really, really very impressive move on the upside over the course of the last almost 2 years. And then when we just zoom in and look at the daily count, the daily chart, then it looks like a failed break above 140. So there is the potential here that we're going to see some additional volatility, and not least because we've had such an incredibly inert trading environment, and that alone is something that was just not possible to for it to persist indefinitely. Now, we've had volatility on the fixed income markets collapse back to historic lows. So now that it's bouncing from here, then there's the potential that we could get a significant bounce, and that we could at least get it back up towards the region of the trend mean. When we then think about stock markets, well, the Nasdaq has been underperforming other markets for the last few days, and it was in negative territory in here today and pausing around the 11,000 level. But this is an inconsistency. We did have a pullback into the underlying range in June, but it wasn't as orderly as the range that was put in July, and now it's pulling back into that range. This is a midpoint danger line type scenario, because this has been quite a consistent move on the upside over the course of the last 5 months. So when we look at this range, we can then think about where is the middle of the range, and it's probably somewhere around the 10,630 level. Maybe give it a little bit more, and we think about 10,600. Well, if that level is taken out on a sustained basis, well, then we definitely have a failed upside break. Then you're talking about coming back and testing the sequence of higher reaction lows. And if it were to break below that, well, then we're looking at mean reversion. And it would break the sequence of higher reaction lows. It would clearly be evidence of damage to the consistency of the trend off the lows in March. And it's, I think, quite likely that we're going to have at least have some rotation, because while the Russell 2000 has been outperforming over the last week, it was also in negative territory in here today, and there is a short-term overbought condition, so we may see some consolidation, but it is not nearly as overextended as we see with some of the big technology companies. The transportation index was also in negative territory today, getting a little vertigo around the 11,000 level, and it has also raced to get up to these levels. But I do think that in just the same way that 2000 is an area of reassessment for investors in gold. $2 trillion as a market cap for Apple is an equally important area for reassessment in technology shares. And there is, I think, the clear argument here that an awful lot of good news has already been priced in, and that the broad consistency of Apple's trend has certainly changed, because it has been, I think, liable to have these accelerated moves over the course of the last decade. But the length of the consolidations that followed the accelerations has been in the region of a year. And what we've seen in the last 6 months has been that it pulled back violently, certainly, but then it recouped that decline and then improved upon it in a very robust manner in a very short period of time. So we've had a very clear acceleration on the upside, and that acceleration also shows up on the logarithmic scale chart, and that's not a normal circumstance. When you look at a logarithmic scale chart, when an acceleration is clearly evident, well, then it really is accelerating. And there is obviously then the potential that we're going to get a deeper process of consolidation here. Apple hasn't been particularly effective at bringing out new products since Steve Jobs died. There's also the potential that they are missing the market for 5G, or at least that any potential from 5G has already been priced into the share. And this whole gag about consolidating the shares in a 4-to-1 split so that they're more available to retail investors, that smells of gimmickism. And it certainly hasn't been a factor in the continued advance of Amazon, although that has also done spectacularly well and is also susceptible to some additional consolidation. One thing that I thought was particularly interesting in here today is that Zoom Media Communications has broken down now from its range, and its advance was capped also with a downside key reversal. And now that held up the price, and there's the potential that we could see some additional downside. I'm personally am rather negatively disposed to the share. I just have not had a good experience with any one of the Zoom meetings I've been on. There have always been problems for everyone trying to connect with audio, with video problems. My kids have been using it and they absolutely hate it. So I just cannot understand why the share should continue to do well if we are moving increasingly towards economic recovery and the potential for opening up. Of course, that is not likely in the short term, and there are still big questions about the openings up of schools and of the wider economy in the biotech sector. The biotech index broke down as well in here today. One of the problems, and I guess I do think that there are two potential problems with some of the companies. The first is Moderna, for example, said last week that they may not own the intellectual property that on their patents. So that is opening up a whole can of worms. So that's certainly a potential issue. But then when we think about, there's an additional issue. AstraZeneca, for example, is investing significantly in production facilities for Oxford University's solution. And that has certainly helped to boost the share, but it is also down in here. Now, the big question is, with so many companies deploying huge resources to boost manufacturing capacity, are we going to have an overload of vaccine solutions within 6 months? And will then the price compression that results in contribute to some issues for the viability of some of these smaller companies in particular? So that is part of the reason why we're getting this weakness coming through in the biotechnology sector. But the medium-term question is, do these mRNA solutions work? If they work, well, then we're talking about the real potential to greatly enhance the range of solutions for things like cancer and infectious diseases. And not only to provide effective solutions to intractable problems, but also to deliver solutions in a very timely manner. And that is completely revolutionary. That is the kind of thing that really will help to boost the bottom line for these kinds of companies. But perhaps not yet, and perhaps not until after we're through the coronavirus challenge. Then we have this continued uncertainty about exactly what is going on in China and exactly how much support are they giving to the stock market, because it just has not been able to push up and through the 4,800 point level. Markets, our bull markets in China, are state sponsored, and the state sponsorship of this rally is still questionable, and that's the reason why I just decided to no longer participate. That generally speaking, when the government gets behind the market, then it tends to rally impressively. We've had the rally, and they're expressing concern at the speed of the rally with only a 3-week window of advances. That's not particularly encouraging. The continued strife in Hong Kong politically is certainly being met with some support for the market, and the stock market was in positive territory in here today because of the willingness of the Chinese administration to offer visas again for Macau. So some of the casino stocks were among the best performers in here today, and I think that is what we're starting to see, is that when we look at, for example, Marriott, a lot of their hotels are at way below capacity in North America, for example, but they are seeing recovery in China. China was first in, it's likely to be first out, and then it's going to be somewhat later for Europe and the USA to come out of their various lockdowns. But that is helping to support the outlook for some of these global travel and leisure companies. So Norwegian was also among the better performers in here today. And these are companies that are still at really quite depressed valuations. What is quite likely is that governments are just not going to let them go bust, and that they will be afforded the liquidity required to survive. And I think investors are willing to give the benefit of the doubt to some of these types of businesses in the short term because of that valuation, and most particularly because of the valuation spread, because the speed with which the technology sector has rallied has been incredibly impressive. And we're clearly due some consolidation. Then there are some of the smaller technology companies that had popped on the upside yesterday. So Nikola, for example, popped on the upside yesterday on news that they've got a 2,500 truck order. And I think they're waste trucks. But it gave up the entire thing in here today. So now the question is, are these, even with good news stories coming through, are we going to see a continued activity in the highly speculative markets? So, for example, Virgin Galactic had also popped on the upside, and then it came all the way back down. What we're seeing, I think, is a clear move back towards some of the more classic potential value opportunities. And that is also rather sensitive to interest rates. With the pop on the upside for the US 10-year treasuries, then I think it's particularly interesting how sensitive investor flows are to interest rates and then the clear move towards value. So Investors have obviously concluded that value is incapable of rallying without a higher interest rate. Now, that is something that I think is a foretaste of what we might potentially see later, particularly if bond yields continue to move higher. Now, there is an additional point I think is worth considering, as the S&P 500 is within only a couple of points of its all-time peak, and we have a short-term overbought condition, so we could easily get some consolidation here. We're potentially going to see that the US election in November is going to be dominated by mail-in voting. There are 34 states demand that they have received the mail-in vote before election day. Now, that's going to put incredible stress on the US Postal Service, and it's already creaking at the seams. I go to the post office quite regularly to deliver packages for Mrs. Tracy, and I can tell you that the number of people that have been complaining about lost packages has increased really quite considerably over the last couple of months, and particularly over the last 2 weeks. Now, that might be because people are on holiday, and that people at the post office are taking their holidays, but August is generally a quiet month anyway, and they're not even remotely equipped to handle the deluge of ballots that could come through the mail. And since they are all prepaid envelopes, then will they stamp them correctly? Because they will be dismissed if they're not stamped correctly. That's putting a lot of constitutional or even civic duty onto postal workers that are in no way compensated or prepared for it. So there is the real potential that the US presidential election result is going to be significantly delayed, or there are going to be massive legal challenges as to who in fact won. And that means that when we think about what the potential outcomes are, well, people have been willing to look at the potential that President Trump will win, or that the Democrats will take the both houses of Congress and the presidency. But I don't think anyone has really started to really price in the potential that there won't be a result at all, or that there will be a result in March rather than November. And that's not an unrealizable potential outcome. And that represents a significant risk. So I think that when we start to think about the potential for the market to just simply break higher, I think we're quite likely to have consolidation first. The most important thing is that the level of around 3,000 continues to hold. If 3,000 continues to hold, then that's just a consolidation in the region of the peak. If it starts coming back below that level, then that would be certainly more troublesome. Once we've seen the rally back above the trend mean following a hiatus like we've had in March, we should not see the market pull back below the trend mean if this is still a recovery. Now, when we then think about some of the better performers around the world, Japan did quite well in here today, but with the broad weakness we're starting to come through in the latter portion of the trading day in here on Wall Street, I do expect that most markets will be in negative territory tomorrow. I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.